Hello, and you're already welcome. Episode 15. Explain my mental health podcast. Thanks very much for joining me. So, show notes for this week, I've actually written down it's December, just in case I forgot. So yeah, Christmas. A time of love, time of giving, and all that jazz. And yeah, the tree is up. And I'd love to proclaim that it was done in the spirit of festivity and celebration and flickering lights, but no, it was fucking wretched. Jesus. Most of the boxes that came out of the attic went straight into the skip. And Jesus, it was a chore. It was a fucking seasonal demand at the end of a long working day, and it took about 2.5 hours. And yeah, with a 2-year-old child, you know, coming up to Christmas, this should have been a bit more pleasant, a bit more enjoyable, a bit more exciting. But no, it wasn't. Pretty morbid way to kick off the podcast. But no, look, I'm not completely miserable. I promise, I'm not the Dark Lord of melancholy when it comes to the Christmas. When it swings around each year, and in fact, I rather enjoy Christmas. Yeah, I like the buzz. I like the buzz about the place. There's certainly energy wherever you go in the lead up to it. Energy and chaos, particularly on the roads. Don't know if anyone else has noticed that, and I'm starting to sound like a granddad now. Jesus wept, the traffic is atrocious. So I'm on the road all day at work, so I noticed this, and I noticed a difference at different times of the year as when the traffic is bad and fucking very bad. And yeah, at the moment it is very bad. So yeah, really obvious observation heading into the episode this week, but just in case you haven't noticed, traffic is pretty chronic everywhere you go. But yeah, Christmas. No, it's not, you know, there can be a nice vibe about the place. And I think for me, Christmas Eve, that's where it's at for me. Marvellous day. Always a very pleasant atmosphere about the place, and it isn't quite as manic as the days and weeks sort of leading up to it, I presume. Probably at that stage, most people are kind of sorted, have everything done, except for men. Heading into town 4:30 Christmas Eve. Better start getting the Christmas presents. But yeah, Christmas Eve is where it's at for me. I've always had a lovely tradition over the last couple of years. I see people I sort of don't really see throughout the year. Generally in good humour. And yeah, it's just a nice atmosphere about the place. Christmas Day, grand till about 1:20. And yeah, usually kind of get a bit claustrophobic, stuck around the house. You're probably starting to piss people off. People are starting to piss you off. You've got Auntie Bridie home from the States for a week, and she's trying to recreate Christmas 1986 for everybody. It's not quite happening because everyone wants to do their own thing. But yeah, I've no beef with Christmas Day. It's all right. Fuck, that's a really negative introduction with regard what should be a celebratory time of the year for people. But sure, however, there's no panic. But look, from the perspective of mental health and mental well-being, it's an interesting one. And I know for me, I've 100% experienced bad times at Christmas. And just thinking back over sort of what would have been a really bad period for me, I felt lonely over the years, 100%. I felt distant from family and from friends, and I felt a degree kind of pointlessness about the whole thing. And yeah, fucking Captain Buzzkill here. But I think it's a time of year that people are expected to be happy, to be excited, to kind of socialise, to party, and all that comes with it. And if you haven't been having the fucking best time of it heading into it right throughout the year, then Christmas music, fucking candles in the window, mince pies, all that jazz, it's not going to change things just because. And Yeah, Jesus, it can be difficult, and I think it's certainly something I sort of wanted to focus on this week anyway, that's for sure. I think Christmas in itself, even Christmas Day, it can be demanding kind of both physically and mentally. Like you say, there can be a lot going on, there can be a lot of people about the place, there's kind of people that maybe you don't see quite regularly, and you maybe just find yourself a little bit uncomfortable. I suppose particularly if it's your own house and you have this influx of people where you're maybe not feeling relaxed around your own house, and that's not a good place to start if you've any kind of mental health issue or mental illness. And I think it's something like everything, if you can maybe put a little bit of a prep and a plan in place to sort of help you along the way, and ensure the day itself and maybe the week or the entire period can be a bit more enjoyable. So yeah, no, it is. It can be demanding, and I think financially as well. Fuck me, financially it can be cruel, and there's maybe a sense of obligation, that kind of compressing demand against your wallet. And I certainly had that last year. I'd set up my own business, failed spectacularly, and last year I was completely and utterly fucking broke, and it was horrendous. As I said, I've a young son, young family, and it was fucking horrible. Really didn't enjoy last year, which is why this year, I'm quite relaxed. I'm pretty chilled out, busy enough in work, as I said, kind of getting caught up in a little bit of chaos, as I said, with traffic, and when you work in retail, that's going to happen. But I'm really chilled out about this Christmas. I've a week off. I'm looking forward to the time off. I'm looking back upon a year with zero regret, for the first time in probably 10 years. I'm not looking back in a rearview mirror with dread, with angst, wondering, should I have done this? Should I have done that? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? I'm looking back in 2018, proud as fuck with everything I've done this year, and the progress I've made on my own journey mentally. Now, if anyone's listening to that saying, oh, that's fucking great for you, Dave, aren't you fucking wonderful? No, that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is, for the last 9 fucking years of my life, I've looked back at the end of the year thinking, you fucking idiot. You should have done this. You fucking gobshite. You're fucking useless. And 12 months have been a culmination of fucking doubt and self-hate, and it's not fucking pleasant. So for once, despite all the fucking good in my life, and there's 98-99% of good in my life, even over the last 9-10 years, but for once, I'm looking back with fucking practically zero negativity of the year that has just been, which is helping me in my planning and preparation for Christmas time, which, with everything I've stated already, with a lot of people about the place, I can find that very uncomfortable, and I can be a bit fucking socially awkward depending who I'm around. But I'm relaxed and I feel ready for it, and I'm gonna make my business to enjoy it. Jace is getting a bit older now, still not quite at the level where he understands what Santa is and all that jazz, but he's enjoying the lights and enjoying all that that's going on, the noise that comes with it, and I'm relaxing, just gonna enjoy it. So that's where I'm at. I don't think I meant to lead on to that. For what the fuck was I saying before? Oh yeah, financially. Sorry, yeah, no. Last year it was just tough, and I think, I know if you kind of say that to someone heading into, oh Jesus, I'm fucking broke, I'm struggling, you'll get the standard answer that, look, it's not about the gifts, it's not about the presents, but look, culturally, it's fucking instilled in us. And the reality is, look, it can be nice to fucking give somebody something, even the smallest of gifts, just as a thank you to somebody who's maybe helped you out during the year, or been there for you, somebody you respect, someone you love. And when you're not in a position to do that, it can be disempowering, and it's just not fucking nice to be in that position. And that's what I experienced last year. So thankfully, as I said, I'm in a little bit of a better position this year. Would love to be flush with cash, wouldn't we all? It's not an issue for me this year. I'll be not overspending. I'll look after the people I love. But just, again, look, compared to last year, I'm just pretty relaxed about it. Thankfully, it isn't a worry for me this year. Long may that fucking last. Jesus Christ. So, yeah, what are my lessons and my advice and the expectations of Christmas? Fucking Christmas songs. There's one for you. I'm kind of numb to them. again, as I said, just, you know, walking all day and you're out there in shops and they're playing all the time, you kind of forget they're playing. But yeah, fucking hymnal melodies of fucking tragedy and regret. John Lennon, "So This Is Christmas, What Have You Done?" Fairy Tale New York, Christmas Eve in the fucking drunk tank. "Baby Please Come Home," that was another one. "U2," they're singing "Deck the Halls," but it doesn't feel like Christmas at all. Fuck me. A marble collection of tunes altogether. But yeah, they don't bother me, being honest with you. People can be going fucking demented. Oh, I'm sick of listening to it. I don't really hear them. There's a couple of tunes I do like. If they come on in the old Spotify and some sort of mix, I'll turn it up loud in the car. I'll find myself singing along to one or two. And I'm cool with it. I'm grand. As you can probably tell, I am seriously fucking relaxed at the moment. It's great. But there you go. So my advice heading into Christmas. Yeah, so look, firstly, financially, as I just said, I am probably the worst person in the world to give financial advice to anybody. Yeah, look, obviously cut your cloth, protect your assets, and yeah, look, a bit of planning and preparation, make a list, break down your expenditure, and don't overspend, don't look to impress, and that might give you a good foundation and a base to sort of work with over the next week or two. Yeah, I am not qualified to give that advice. I worked in a bank, which is pretty fucking scary. my God, my financial literacy is atrocious. I'll just fucking spend money if it's there, and it's grand, don't worry about it. 3 coffees a day, fuck me, about 12, 13 euro on coffees every day. I've thankfully culled that, worked my way into better habits over the last couple of months. But yeah, look, just yeah, don't overspend, probably my best advice on that. I think socially, I'm just trying to think of sort of practical, really simple advice over the Christmas period. Socially, if you're in demand, maybe just pick one or two events, one or two occasions that you're sort of comfortable with and commit to them. And otherwise, don't feel obliged or pressured to kind of follow suit, having, oh, Jesus, I have to do this, I have to do that. You don't have to fucking do anything. And look, I'll give an example. All my friends do the 12 pubs. They always have great crack. I don't drink. I've never drank. There's no fucking way I'd go and do the 12 pubs, because I just feel like a plank after about the tour pub. It's just not a night that I'd enjoy. I'd feel a little bit of pressure on myself, not from the guys, not from the lads. They're fucking great. They've never ever made an issue with me not drinking. But I'm happy enough to leave them to it. Go and enjoy yourself, lads. I'll catch up with you myself over the next couple of weeks. Fucking grand. So do the same yourself. Just mark down one or two events that you're really looking forward to, and go and enjoy them. But don't feel obliged that you have to go and do everything on every fucking night over the following 3 weeks or so that are coming up, because it can be a busy time, it can be demanding. And what else? Take time to yourself is a fucking massive one. Take time to yourself. As I said, there'll be a lot of people about the place. You'll be going from house to house. There'll be people coming to your house. You'll be stuff on and work. There could be events sort of out, maybe going to different concerts or something, even over the next couple of weeks, couple of sort of Christmas events in town or whatever it may be. But take a bit of time to yourself and just do the fucking shit that you enjoy. I know for me, Christmas Day, when kind of dinner is done, everything's settled down, I'll always get out for a walk or go for a run even, just for a little bit of time, a little bit of headspace. That works all year round. So not just Christmas Day. The days before it, the days after, get out for a walk, get to the gym, go and do your run, do the things you do normally throughout the year, just to sort of keep yourself relaxed and keep the head clear. It'll go a long way. Go at your own pace. It's saying, like, even if you're going to do a Christmas shop, and just go at your own pace, don't panic, just relax. Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, go at your own pace. Don't feel you have to fucking keep up with everybody. Don't keep you feel like you need to be pulling people along with you. Just go at your own pace. Let that be that. Deep breaths. And yeah, I suppose on top of that, just give yourself a break. You know, if you want that extra mince pie, fucking have it. No better time to have it. Fucking Jesus wept. If ever there was a time to indulge, this is it. So yeah, give yourself a break. you've most likely worked your arse off all year. Yeah, just embrace it, enjoy yourself, and yeah, I've really thought this through fucking thoroughly, haven't I? Do shit you enjoy, reading, watching films, board games, fucking computer games, whatever it is, take time to bleed and do that, whether it's with your cousins or your mates or again by yourself. Make sure you're taking the time to do that. Big on my list every year, I always ask for books. I read loads, love books, and I'll always make time, especially with time off work, to sort of to chill out on my own with a cup of tea and read whatever books I get. And it's fucking great. Again, just headspace, it's just important. Look, it's all very trivial. Look, I think big one I know, and it does come up a lot, family members. If they're irritating the shit out of you, and I'm just saying this out straight, everybody knows somebody, you're spending that much time with people, someone's going to annoy you, you're going to annoy someone. And rows with family at Christmas, I would imagine, from just talking to other people, are quite commonplace. If someone's really irritating you, look, just maintain your own standards. Your own standards of self. Don't lower yourself to an argument. You know, just maintain your own standards. Don't lower yourself to pettiness. You're entitled to enjoy yourself as much as anybody. And look, most likely you won't see them for another 6 months anyway. That probably sounds really sinister. It's fucking not. The likelihood of somebody having a row with someone else in your family at Christmas, with so many people about, is very fucking likely. Look after yourself. Don't lower your standards. Don't be petty. And follow the previous steps I've just given in terms of looking after yourself, giving yourself a bit of headspace, and getting a bit of time in your own as well. Fuck me, that developed. That's a 50-minute rant on Christmas. It wasn't really a rant, it just kind of opened up. It's where the conversation was going. It's December, it's on everybody's mind. Kind of makes sense. So why wouldn't you talk about Christmas? Moving on. Suppose, yeah, happy Christmas, you filthy animal, and all that. Home Alone, there's one for you. Yeah, wonderful Christmas movie, we all fucking love it. RTE rocked the thing out in August this year. Fucking August, watching Home Alone. Still putting bleeding sun cream on. Absolute nonsense. Anywho, it wouldn't work today. There's no way Home Alone would work today. Two words, Wi-Fi. mobile phones, fucking doorbells with bleeding cameras on them, neighbourhood watch, all that jazz. 9/11 would affect it. It would have affected the whole check-in process at the airport. There's no way they would have even got on the plane without fucking noticing Kevin was gone. Never would have worked. Home Alone, it is recognised as a flawless production. There you have it. And it is, it's almost a perfect movie. There's not too many holes you can pick in that film. Obviously my age, 34, so I think it came out in 1990. I would have been 6 or 7 when it came out. I've grown up with it, like everyone. I fucking love it. I'm not going to spend time on the podcast giving out about Home Alone. It's fucking epic. Even the second one was rather enjoyable. Lost in New York. That could probably still happen, in fairness. Fuck me, it's a big place. But yeah, Home Alone. Yeah. I'm not messing around with Home Alone. I'm not going forward with Home Alone, the podcast. I don't want to do anything that could do with fucking doing injustice to one of the greatest movies of our fucking childhood. So I'm leaving it there. I'll be watching Home Alone at some point over Christmas. So life skills, week 5. If you listened to last week's episode, which was very well received, thanks for your feedback. It was a bit wild. There was all sorts of crazy shit going on last week. If you haven't heard it, please do go back. It involved Mel Gibson and me stripping in a public toilet. Just to give you some context on that. Go back and listen to it. But just on the life skills, if you did miss last week's episode, I just wasn't feeling it for week 4. Mentally, I was a bit drained. And I just wasn't present with what we were going through. But heading into week 5, I was back in the game. I was a bit more focused, a bit more determined. I did my homework to catch up, got the work done, and had a bit more mental vibrancy heading into the class on Wednesday night. But fuck me, it was tense. Jesus, it was tense. And the reason, this was probably the first time where we were sort of honed in on an individual basis, kind of working on our own with a very personal problem. So up until now, there was a lot of kind of theoretical practice where you were given a problem to work with, and it wasn't necessarily your problem. It was just something that was brought up and we kind of worked at it in groups. But this was the first time we really bedded down on something that was very personal to us. And yeah, you could fucking sense the unease in the room. And for me, I felt there was something fucking poignant about that, because I think for a lot of people in the room, it was about 20 people, this was maybe the first time in their lives they were facing up to something head on. And with respect to that, it's not fucking easy. I mean, for some people, this 6-week program is potentially the greatest step in terms of positive mental health and its progression that they've made to date. And I mean, the theory, the thought process, and the work of the self that is required for progression, it can be quite gripping and quite overwhelming. So to put that into practice for the first time in a classroom full of other people while you're working on your own, like, that's fucking intense. And I just felt a fucking healthy respect for everybody in the room. So, like, fucking fair play. And what I've learned, and sorry, just if you've missed any of this, I'm currently doing a 6-week program with AWARE. It's life skills, it's cognitive behavior therapy, which is, I suppose, look, it's basically the practice of acknowledging your thoughts, taking ownership of your thoughts, and dealing with them, controlling your thoughts, which in effect will control your actions, and therefore you're in control. That's a very layman's term explanation. Yeah, no, it does make sense. So over the past 5 weeks or so, I've been working on this. I've done it before on my own, but what I'm loving about this is just because I have to be there at a certain time in a certain place on a certain night, I'm there, I'm present, and I'm doing the work as if I'm in school and it's fucking homework and I have to do it. But I've been really enjoying it. What I've found, whilst my self-awareness is quite strong, I find the progression for me is that I'm 100% more honest in critical analysis and detailed analysis of particular avenues that I'm dealing with. So, for example, we were asking one of the workouts to rate our behaviour in a particular way. I'm trying to think of an example. So there's a list of about 10 questions, and I suppose the best way to explain it was, what way do you do this? Answer from 1 to 5. 1 is, you know, you don't really have a problem. 5 is, you have a fucking serious problem, mate. And some of the questions I was sort of, I know 6 months ago I'd have read it and said, no, I'm only a 1, I'm grand. That doesn't affect me. But I just found in answering these questions that are very personal, I was 100%, I was sort of answering with integrity, I suppose, the best way to explain it. And it was just like, listen, mate, you're a fucking 5 here. This is a problem. This is a fucking problem. We need to walk through it. And again, just quietly, really fucking happy with myself, whilst slightly uncomfortable at the prospect that with this particular area, I'm a fucking prick and I need to improve greatly. Very happy and very proud that I was fucking honest enough to answer it the way it should have been answered. And stare the problem right in the face and make a decision to do something about it. And look, I'm sorry, I'm not giving really detailed sort of a detailed analysis of the actual questions, because look, some of them are just really, really personal stuff that, well, number one, I don't bore the fucking tits out of you. It's only relevant to my life, but just stuff that's really, really personal to me. I'm very open about my mental health, but there's a couple of things, obviously. It doesn't have to be a confession. I don't have to be open 100% about everything. And there's just 1 or 2 things that I answered that were a big step for me in terms of my own journey and my own progress. And I'm just not quite comfortable just putting it out there. That's all. But it made sense to me. And I was really happy that I was honest enough to answer it the way I should have answered it. And the next stage of this now is for me is just breaking that down bit by bit, taking one chunk of this problem, working with it, and then moving on to the next chunk. And that's the calm sort of approach I'm trying to take to this. And you can probably tell, I feel very relaxed. I think it's coming across in my entire demeanor in the podcast, and that's where I'm at. I'm in a fucking good place in life, and this shit is really helping me. So yeah, go and check them out if you're interested in doing the course. I think Aware run these quite regularly. They're running different venues across Dublin and across the country. So I just found it on the website, just Aware Ireland, and you can see their events page and the different programs that they run. I'd highly recommend it. Look, it's free. It's one night a week. You've nothing to lose, absolutely nothing to lose. So go and check it out. And as soon as I finish this, I'll have Wednesday nights free. I'm gonna look for something else to do along the same lines, just to keep this momentum going and just keep working on myself, keep working on myself, and make my mind hard to break. And that's where I'm at with it. So yeah, there, Jesus, nearly half an hour in. That's great. I love when that happens. I love when that happens. I look at the timer and it's like, yeah, Jesus, I've just filled a lot of a lot of airspace, and there's nothing worse. You feel you've been, Jesus, I nearly have a full episode done here. This is great. And then you look and there's like 2 minutes in. It's like, oh, feck. But yeah, all is good. So yeah, the final week, we're heading, obviously, yeah, week five. Week six is the final week heading into this. And I'd imagine, heading into the last week, it'll be heavy enough in detail once again. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. As I said, week four, I just wasn't feeling it. I was a bit apprehensive after it. I was a little bit lost. And I got the bounce back this week. And I'm looking forward to next week to kind of see what's coming next and how the process can evolve again. And yeah, that's where I'm at. Happy days. I've gone into a lot of detail there. But it's grand. That's what this podcast is for. So, yeah, look, that is what it's for. I'm kind of pausing a lot tonight. I didn't really have a lot planned, being honest with you. Which maybe isn't a bad thing. I think sometimes if I've a lot to speak about, maybe means I've had a heavy week and I've a lot to get off my chest. And this week, the only thing that really came into my mind was Christmas and the life skills. So yeah, there's not a lot in my mind. I'm pretty chilled out, which is great. And I hope you can pick up on that and take something from it as well. So happy days. What else is going on? I do have an element of it. I have a bit of excitement within me because I'm currently halfway through another fine production from Nordic Noir, which is a Swedish crime thriller. Spoke a few weeks ago about True Detective, one of my favourite programmes, some of the best writing I've ever seen on screen. Anything produced by Nordic Noir is up there as well. I'm currently watching Modus, which is it's Swedish, and it's just, oh, it's fucking marvellous. Any of these set in Scandinavia is always set in the winter when it's fucking snowy and ice and freezing, and you feel like you have to wrap yourself up in a blanket while you're watching it on the DVD player. Yeah, I still watch DVDs, don't judge. I like a book. I like the physical feel. I like opening the box, I like putting it in, I like playing my DVD, and I never have streaming issues. You just press play and it fucking works. Happy days, everyone's happy. So yeah, Scandinavian dramas, if you haven't checked them out already, two of my favourites today, The Killing, not the English one, this is the original one, the Danish version, and also The Bridge, same again, sort of based in Denmark and Sweden. Slow, sort of slow progressions, these kind of dark themes, a world of flawed heroes, all crime thrillers. Some of the best acting I've ever seen. So The Killing is an actress called Sophie Grabal. She plays lead detective called Sarah Lund. Just this fucking obsessive cop. Neglects everything in her family life. Everything's going on. She's just obsessed with the job. A similar theme to any kind of detective story. But, geez, it was a slow burn. It was 20 episodes. I think it first came out in 2007. The first series had 20 episodes, so that's a big commitment. But a wonderful storyline, wonderful progression. The pace is slow, but it's perfectly timed. and yeah, highly recommend. It's just, it's one of them. Do you know when you find a series you're watching, you finish, ah, oh, jeez, I'll just watch one more. Suddenly it's 20 past 3 in the morning, you're up in 3 hours for work. That's how good it is. And same with The Bridge. Similar, you've got a lead character, female. Oh, what's her name? Saga Norlin is the name of the character in the actual program. I don't know the actress's name, but she's incredible. She just holds the whole thing together. So The Bridge is basically, they find a body on the bridge that links Sweden and Denmark, and the body is on the border. So half the body is in Danish land, half the body is on Swedish land. So the Danish cops and the Swedish cops have to come together to work this out, find the killer, and from the off, it's fucking spectacular. Saga Norlin, she has, it's not autism, Asperger's, and the way they portray her character is love is the law, that law is the law. There's no compassion and very little understanding and acknowledgement of human emotion. It's just the facts are the facts, and she's going to find them. And she plays this role spectacularly. And she's the Swedish cop, the Danish cop, Martin. It's been about 3 or 4 years since I've seen the fourth series, and it obviously has changed. It's onto the fourth one at this stage. But there's a wonderful relationship between the two of them. It's almost like a father-daughter relationship, but it's brilliant right from the off. There's a little bit of tension between the Danish cops and the Swedish cops, bit of competition, like, I'm going to solve this. No, you're not, I'm not. And I thought, imagine that in Ireland. Fucking a body found on the border of a bleeding, some town on either side of a bridge. It's like, fuck that, lad, you can bleed and solve that. No, you do it, I'm busy. But, yeah, same. But, anyway, yeah, The Bridge. And there's actually The Bridge itself. It's worth watching just for the footage of The Bridge. I've been very fortunate. I've been in Denmark a couple of times. Been there with Shells a few times. We played against Bromby in what was the UEFA Cup in 2001. Spent a week in Copenhagen. That was fucking marvellous. Went back then. Been back a few times up in Odense. At the drive then, drove across the bridge. The Arlesund Bridge, it's 12 kilometres long. It connects Denmark and Sweden. 8 kilometres of it is a bridge. It ends in an artificial island called Peberholm. The Peberholm. Yeah, wonderful pronunciation. The Peberholm. It's an artificial island. But this is brilliant because it's been fucking untouched since the building of this. Since it was built. It's developing flora and fauna. It makes it a fucking porn site for biologists. Over 500 species of plants and a shitload of boars that you can't find anywhere else. So who says we're fucking around with nature? But anyhow, the bridge on the island, it stops and it goes underground then. And it's a mix of a tunnel and a bridge. You can't walk it, unfortunately. Remember last time I was there, I was hoping I could walk it. One of the big challenges I'd love to do, I'd love to run from fucking Copenhagen to Stockholm. That just came into my head a couple of weeks ago. I thought that'd be fucking deadly, and I was like, I could run across the bridge, and I can't. You're not allowed to run across the bridge. You'd have to go further up, get the ferry over to Malmo, and yeah, wouldn't work. But definitely something to consider a few years down the line and have a little bit of freedom. Where was I going with all that? Oh yeah, look, the bridge is fucking deadly. 12k long, what more can I say? Connects two countries. Just go and Google it, looks class. And that led me on to, actually, there's another thing. All these crazy challenges that I do that, yeah, running marathons and all that. A couple of years ago, I undertook the challenge along with a friend. We'd pick a couple of different things to do. And one of them was, I decided to learn Danish for a month. And, yeah, so Danish is one of the most fucking complex languages for anybody to grasp. Even people from Denmark will tell you, it's a rather difficult language to really pick up. Even if, never mind just deciding one day that, I think I'll learn Danish. There's 3 or 4 different dialects. There's a lot of pronunciation differences compared to other Scandinavian languages. There's a large vowel inventory. Something like fucking 31 vowels or something. With various pronunciations and changings along the way. It's quite a difficult language. I did it for a month and I actually learned a fucking shitload. And like so many things in my life, just as I was getting half decent, I let it slide. And it was deadly because I learned enough that when I was watching a couple of the Scandi documentaries or the thrillers or these series, I was starting to pick up on a couple of words without looking at the subtitles, and I was getting excited about it. And yeah, it fell by the wayside, unfortunately, but if that's the worst thing that ever happens to me in life, so yeah, I'd be grand. So look, we're there, 35 minutes gone. The Bridge, The Killing and Modus, Nordic Noir website, go and check it out. Scandinavian crime thrillers, they're fucking fantastic. Put them on your Christmas list for next year. Probably too late now. Santa has your list. You can't change it. You can't alter it. But listen, thanks very much for listening. That's after flying in. Happy Christmas. Life skills covered. Christmas covered. Scandi crime thrillers covered. I'm pretty fucking chilled out for the sixth or seventh time. Thanks for listening. iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're listening to it, leave some feedback, subscribe to the podcast, share it with your mates, follow me on Instagram, performers_doc, and if you have any questions, any feedback, send it in to me. Thanks very much for listening. Talk to you next week.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.